Welcome and thank you for tuning in to Self Care with Boosie.
Today I am having an open conversation with friends of mine who are based in South Africa, Itumeleng and Simpiwe, and we're talking all things feminism, what it is, what it means to us, and how we think it's something that could help alleviate some of the gender-based violence that we see happening in the world against females. So let's get them on and get the conversation rolling. So today's conversation, ladies, feminism, and if we were all feminists, how would that help, like, with gender-based violence in the world? Like, namhlanje, I woke up to some lady on Instagram that I follow, and she was sharing about a lady that was killed last night. I don't know the lady's name. I think it's still a pretty fresh story, and I think she's in the U.S., so I'm assuming that woman's also in the U.S. And it's like the person who killed her is her ex-boyfriend. Ex-boyfriend kills her. What happened was they broke up. I don't know why they broke up, but they break up, and then the guy basically is like, if I can't have you, then nobody can have you. And then apparently I don't know if he broke into her place, but he went to her place, shot her 14 or 18 times, and then also injured one of her kids in the process. I think she has multiple kills. I can't remember if it's two or three kids, but one of them got shot. And I'm just like, yesterday I was thinking of this conversation that we're going to have, and I'm like, look at the guy. We're speaking about serious things here. Hello, city. Hello. So yesterday I'm thinking about this conversation and a conversation that we had yesterday. As he should join this conversation. You must join.
We need more men.
Tell us what's going on. So we were talking with Utami the previous night, like from Izol. Just about how, like, we're all having dialogues, guys. We're all having these calls, and the aim is, like, maybe we'll be able to educate someone. Maybe another person will, like, be able to see things in a different light, and that changes the way that they think about everything. And we keep having dialogues, like, until when? Like, when are we going to get to a point where we're, like, there's action that's happening? Whatever that action is, like, what is that action that needs to take place? So I think that's one of the things I'd like us to have a conversation about as well. But just to start things off, can you guys explain what feminism is to you? Because I know different people in the world have different views. Like, it's a bunch of angry women who want to be equal to guys. And, you know, they've got this whole, I'm an independent woman who doesn't need a man type of thing. But what does feminism mean to you? Anybody can go first. We're just having a conversation. Nothing heavy.
You wanna go first to me?
No, you can go.
Oh, okay. So what it is to me, maybe it's a very textbook definition, but it has three parts to it. I think the first part is your basic one, which is the dismantling of patriarchy. And it's all a big term, because I'm gonna be like, oh, okay, what do you mean? Patriarchy in this context would be a system or structure that privileges men over women. So in that first part of the definition is basically in feminism, we're saying we are against and we are for the dismantling of that patriarchy. And then it goes further. It's actually for the celebration of freedom of choice. And then there's a third part to it, which for me is where I really actually resonate with, which is where you get to actually analyze and study the context that women live in their everyday lives, the cultural nuances with the intention of bettering women's lives. So in that whole definition, in my words, there's nothing about hate. It's all about love. The first part is about being against an institution that is oppressive. And then there's two parts just about freedom and then also then liberation. For me, it's just that simple.
And for you, Tumi?
Yeah, and for me, it's also basically trying to always fighting for gender equality, the equality of both sexes. We have been seeing movements, we have been seeing all these activism about having gender equalities, that if he can sit on the table, can I also have a seat on the table? And not just to sit, but to have a say that will be taken seriously. So it's about taking a female's life seriously and knowing that they matter.
Yeah. Having that equal
so that is my definition of equal opportunity. Yes.
Yeah. And then to people who would say,
so there is also nothing about saying that I want to be equal to
a guy. Yeah. I don't know if we're having a bit of a lag with Dumi. I think there's a bit of a lag. Can you hear us, Dumi?
I think there's a freeze.
She's frozen now. Yeah. Hopefully she comes back on pretty soon. So Simpiwe, to a person who would say feminists are just these bunch of angry women who just want to be independent, like I don't need a man in my life and I'm equal, whatever a guy can do, I can do, and I can do it better. What would you say to someone who views feminists as those type of people?
I actually say I was one of those women, funny enough. Growing up, I used to have this phrase in high school because I didn't understand what feminism is. So that comes from lack of understanding, one. Mm-hmm. So I used to say that in high school, like what a man can do, I can do better. And I wasn't saying it out of hate. I was saying it out of ignorance. I was a child and there was this new term that I associated with independence. All I was wanting was independence. So I kind of latched onto feminism and this phrase.
Yeah.
And then I grew up, got into my teens, and then I realized that it came with such negative connotations. Then I dropped it because I didn't want to now be associated with hate. I wanted boys to like me. So I left it. But then I battled with this phrase, or with now, I live feminism, but now I'm not identifying it as one. So then now in my later 20s, I came into my being. I'm comfortable. I identify as an African feminist. And I put the word African because feminism it's about your geographical location as well, because it's about your cultural nuances. My reality can never be the same with someone who lives somewhere else and has a different reality. I celebrate who I am. I celebrate my culture. I love being Black. I love being Ndebele. There's absolutely nothing about hate in all of that. And I don't think what a guy can do, I can do better. I can't lift better than a man.
Yeah.
I love being female. And, you know, Chiamande mentioned something in her book, I think we all should be feminist, that we are all different. A male can't bring life. And they can't compete with me. However, when there are things that, when they say the strongest person or the healthiest person should get on a boat, it should purely be that assessment. It should not be based on gender, if that is the criteria. So that is the lens of feminism, that sometimes these phrases of women and children first, it sometimes should be a case of who's the healthiest and strongest based on the context. If the male is stronger at that particular time, then dude, go ahead. Do you? And maybe if we move towards that speak, that we actually should also celebrate our natural hormones. Testosterone is there for a reason. Also, there's philosophies about how women and their nurturing motherly nature actually lead better in corporate. And we should celebrate that instead of shying away from it, instead of trying to lead like men. And all of those things I actually came to realize and celebrate when I actually came into my feminism, when I came into knowledge and no longer I've been ignorant as a child.
Yeah. So Dumi, you're back now.
Ladies, yeah, I'm back now. Traumatically reconnected. So I'm not even sure where we are.
Okay, so I just asked Usimpiwe what she would say to a person who views feminists or feminism as a bunch of angry women who are just out there looking for that independence and saying, whatever a guy can do, I can do it just as good or even better than him. So that's the question, basically. What would you say to a person right. who and has that view?
Yeah, because we are not in competition at all. No one is competing with anyone. We are saying that let's all be given a fair chance and opportunity in either it's a social movement, political table, if it's in corporate, and you embrace it the way you are. We are not saying that now you must be aggressive or lead aggressively and be like men. Nobody wants to be like anyone else, but to be accepted and to be offered anything equal to what a man could have been offered, and also embrace what a female can bring into the world. Whether I am bringing the softer touch of leading, of leadership or in the table, it's fine. And give it a chance if it's going to succeed or not. Don't just assume that because I'm female, I'm going to ruin things. We're not going to get things done. And I can't be heard. My opinion doesn't matter. I don't know much. Or maybe it's because I never was given a fair opportunity to be educated as you are. And now I can't be listened to. There is this other guy. He is your... Guys, I really think this guy is just so angry. He is against even this thing of corporates trying to have equal number of males and females. He finds it as, why would you do that? Like, if you're gonna be hiring only female, you know, they're gonna be coming here being emotional, angry all the time. Like, and this thing of we are gonna be pregnant. And now we have to go to maternity. Who's going to be working? So such thing of just by being a female, you're discriminated. That is discrimination. That I can't be offered a job because I'm going to fall pregnant. Well, we can stop reproducing, not have people anymore, so that we can be given fair opportunity. Or maybe you can carry children now. How about that?
Yeah.
So,
you know, I once worked with a guy. It was back in South Africa. I was still a student, still doing my honors and then also working during that time. And then, you know, it was a leadership and development type of program, kind of like an internship type of thing. So you get assigned projects, and then for a particular project, they'll say, okay, you'll be the lead for this project. And then when we do something else, I think we got to choose in any case who leads certain things. So there was a point where we were busy with a project and I was one of the leads in that project. And this guy literally was like, I will not listen to you because you are a woman. No woman is going to tell me what I need to do. I would never marry you. And I'm just like, wow. I'm not here looking for marriage, dude. Like, I'm not looking for marriage. And what does you not listening to a woman and having, what does it have to do with the context that we're in right now? I was just like, wow, this guy, he's going to go on. Like, this is more, it's not like work. Like, I'll say it's not work because it was that leadership and development program. And they did certain things to try and help us gain certain skills for the workplace, in preparation for the workplace. But the way that this guy thinks, he's going to leave this place, go work somewhere, and still treat women the same way, if nothing changes, that is. And he's still a person who, if he ends up in a management position, what's the likelihood that guy is ever going to hire females? Slim to none.
Also zero.
Or even listen to a woman. Also, and then
he
probably
just hire women to comply.
Yes, because he's forced to hire a certain percentage of women. Then I went to a conference last year, the Women's Day, I think it was in March. And then one of the vendors that we worked with had a conference. And even in that space, they were talking about how leaders maybe don't hire a lot of women. And why is that the case? And some guys would say, no, in the pool that they always get. So if they have a role that they open up, chances of getting females applying for certain roles, there's a very little number to work with to begin with. And then one of the guys at the table that we were sitting at, he worked for this company, and he said he had been in management, I think, for the past 10 years. So involved in hiring processes, sat in panels that interview people. And he said there was a time where they were interviewing a bunch of people, and I think they had narrowed it down to four people. So there were three males and one female. And when they were looking at all the candidates, like, you know, when it's like, okay, skills, people are a match. The way that they present themselves, it's like, okay, these people are a match. And it came down to having either hiring the female and hiring the male. And now you have to start thinking of other things that might make them a good hire, because from a skill perspective, they both seem very qualified. From the way that they interact in the call, they both seem very qualified. And he says one of the panelists said something along the lines of, well, maybe we should hire the guy because the female is likely to fall pregnant and leave. Like, so goes back to the thing that you had said a bit earlier, Doom. If these are conversations that take place, and it's like in the within these panelists, there'll be females on there as well who won't say anything, because he says he's here to speak up. What does her falling pregnant have to do with her getting a job?
Doing the job.
Yes, yet stats show that females, working mothers, are actually more productive than men in the office.
I would agree to that.
Because you don't have time to play.
And also...
I would totally agree with that. And like, there's not time for like random chit chat here and there. Like, you need to get things done so you can get home and do the other things that you need to be doing.
And also, I find it very unfair and uncomfortable that when you are a working mother and, you know, people will start judging you that you work too much, your hours are too long, when do you have time to take care of children? Do they ask the same question to men? If you're going to be leaving the office at 12, who is taking care of your baby? Because the same decision that your wife or your partner have made to have children, you have made it that decision too as well. And you are not there to babysit. That's your child. So you don't have 2 hours a day to babysit. You have the whole day responsibility of these children, because they're as yours as much as they are to that woman. So I don't understand also, and that's also one of the inequalities that happens, that we judge women that work too much and that becomes more successful or have, you know, that stronger work ethic as many males would have, and say, but when do you have time to go home and look after your children or to do your duties at home? We should ask the same question to men, like during this lockdown, this now that we are working from home. Now that you are working from home, this other guy was saying, yo, you know what? I just want to go back to the office. The house is hectic because, you know, there's like children around. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's how it is. And he's like, yeah, if I can just go because my wife will be there. So she doesn't need to go back to the office. She has to deal with the running around of the children and be disturbed because she has the same job as you do. She needs to be focused as you do. And it also frustrates her as much as it frustrates you to always be shouting and controlling the whole house. It's not her job to start with, to only be looking after the children and let them running around. You made the same decisions she made to have kids. So you also have equal responsibility of taking care of kids. And even if you can quit your job and she goes work for the whole household, it wouldn't make any difference.
Exactly.
So, and on that note, it's funny because it often comes from fellow females. We judge other females that also choose not to have kids. And then we'll hide behind the umbrella of feminism. Hence, part of feminism is the freedom of choice. You make a choice for yourself what is right for your life. Whether you choose to be a caregiver or not, whether you choose to have kids or not, whether you choose to work 12 hours and have a full-time nanny or not. As females, we're extremely hard on ourselves, and we even harder on fellow females that haven't made the same choices that we've made. We give these men the license. Like Busi is saying, if you're sitting in that boardroom when this decision is being made, you're encouraging this. You should always nip it in the bud when it happens. And you're adding on to these social norms to continue.
I think policies in the workplaces also need to change, because when you look at maternity and paternity leave, why are men only given 3 days or 2 weeks or 1 month? What is that already saying? It's saying the woman's place is at home with the baby. What if a couple maybe wants to have the woman stay at home for 2 months? You stay at home for 2 months while the baby's still super, super tiny maybe. And you also still need to recover and go through the motions of you just had a baby. But maybe after 2 months, the woman feels like, I'm ready to go home. And the guy says, I can stay at home full time with the baby. How many companies and countries are ready to say that's something that we can do? We give paternity leave and maternity leave, and the couple figures out how they work it in their household, whatever works for them, that's what they do. So I think that's also another big part of what needs to change for the world and society to start viewing things a different way.
On that, and you, I think the reason why we're still going to lag behind on that is because we still use gender titles. So we're actually challenging that currently in our company, also because it affects same-sex marriages.
Okay.
It should be a case of primary caregiver and then secondary caregiver.
Yeah.
Because what if I, as a female, I have a powerful job and I don't want to stay home for 6 months or 4 months? I want to just give birth quickly, fast, come back. And my male counterpart is now we've decided is that going to be the primary caregiver. What happens in those situations? But because we still attach maternity leave and paternity leave by an attached gender, will forever be behind. If we just attach it to whoever is going to be taking care of the child, it's just as a
start. And that's something I actually had never thought of. Like, what happens if you have two females who are, well, maybe saying females, because I like, depending on how people identify, but you have maybe a lesbian couple. What happens? Like, who gets maternity leave? Who gets paternity leave? Do you both get maternity leave? Like, how does that look? What happens if you have males, like two males who are looking after, who have to look after a child? Who gets paternity? Do they qualify for maternity? That's a very interesting one that I hadn't thought of. Wow.
And those are part of the fights of feminism.
Yeah.
Because it has nothing to do with gender. Hence, we say anyone, male or female, can be a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
We are for equality and the break of gender stereotypes. And this is just one of those spikes.
Yeah. I saw a post that was speaking about how feminism is something that is also positive for the male. So looking at how it's not just something that is for females, it's something that also helps alleviate the stress and the expectations that society will have on the male person. So for example, if you look at households and you have a female who is the breadwinner, and the guy, maybe he also works, but is not the main breadwinner, there's situations where that man will have to be viewed as less of a man because they're bringing in less money. And it's like, shouldn't this whole conversation and anything like be about our household and how we're able to both move it forward? We play on whatever your strengths are. If you're bringing in most of the money, that's fine, but it doesn't make me feel like I'm less of a man because you're doing X, Y, Z, and maybe you make more money than I do. So then this now goes to the next question that I had for you guys, which was, what are some of the things that you think are factors that contribute to gender-based violence? And this is not trying to make an excuse for any guy who hits or kills a female, but what are the factors that you think contribute to things like gender-based violence that potentially could be alleviated if everybody was a feminist, if everybody really understood what feminism was about?
I think just the point you just made, the pressure of daughter, men of the household, that has psychological elements. We downplay it so much and they easily turn to physical elements. In relationships will never be 50-50, as Steve Harvey says, as much as I'm not a fan of him.
What does Steve Harvey do to you?
I find him to be sexist, but...
Really? Wow.
Yeah, okay. Some things are... But
think like a man, act like a woman.
Yeah, you know, some things I'm like, man.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. But you make some points. Like,
or maybe he should have put a disclaimer that not all females will be, and don't say females like
exactly
one, two, or will respond like this.
Exactly.
Like, not all of us do that, bruh. Not all of us.
Yeah.
That things will never be 50-50. And also our grandmothers have always told us, Luna, your marriages won't last because you're coming with your 50-50 nonsense. It will always be 100%. If both parties constantly give the 100% of themselves, regardless of gender, that alleviates unnecessary mental pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And often men have never been taught as kids how to express instability in mental illness. I see gender-based violence as mental illness half of the time. They're just struggling to voice it out loud. Or now we have, I have mental, like, Fridays once a month. And, you know, I do these, like, self-care days. And, you know, I take care of myself.
Yeah.
But now it will be, oh, let me go out for drinks with the guys. Drinks with the guys doesn't really solve things. It's just
you're not dealing with anything,
up.
Yep.
Exactly. You're building up. And it's also toxic. You guys think, oh, if I slap my girlfriend, you laugh. It means I'm testing her. Let's see if she leaves me. If she doesn't leave, that girl loves you. You know, it's those toxic environments that already your mental state was fragile. Now, it's over the edge. That's one factor. Two, women, we don't value ourselves enough to leave. And as sad as that is, I can't say I'm blaming us for someone else hitting you. I'm a female myself, and I was once very young in a situation, a guy slapped me. And I was like, what are you doing? I'm out. Like, you will never, ever, ever, ever again do that. Because I know who I am, and you don't test me like that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of self-worth and broken people out there on both parties, which we never deal with from childhood. And then now we end up in these, and we're lonely. Now we've grown up with these lonely adults with mental issues, overworked, underpaid. And then we come into these situations. And now there's all these other multiple reasons why now you end up in a situation. Now there's kids. And you're like, okay, I can't leave. I can't do this. I mean, there's various reasons. That's why gender-based violence, it's so hard for someone to leave. And then you have this broken justice system in South Africa where it requires for the person who's now mentally crippled to be the one that actually goes and lays a charge for the police to do something. Mara, I'm here and I'm telling you, policemen, I saw him beat her. But they were like, yeah, but she must come in. I'm like,
what
but
madness.
How?
Yeah.
But I saw it. We yeah. all saw it. This justice system is not for us. It's not for gender-based violence. It is absolutely crippled. It will wait for someone to actually physically be dead. And even in that state, there will still be someone who will have or will not be first-degree murder. He did not have the intent to kill her. He just pushed her down the stairs. And there's all these loopholes. So now we have so many factors that are not for the liberation of women. But now, yeah, let me stop there.
To add also on what you were saying, feminism also, it's different according to also your location, like you said earlier, that we will be affected also because of our traditions, you know, African traditions and how you are supposed to do things. When you walk in the marriage, your place as a female and what you were taught that you're supposed to do, that you need to be submissive into one and two, that things that you'll experience in your household are supposed to be kept or discussed within these perimeters and not move outside these perimeters. So you would walk in with that our taught or in our tradition, in our culture. If Ubaba Sekaya, the man of the house, is saying one and two, I can't say three and four because, you know, I'll be defying the teachings of the elders and so forth. We don't have also that too much freedom to be expressing ourselves as females because now we'll be disrespectful. Or you will not be listening to your elders, or according to traditions, now you are acting, you are taking a male place. Gazella syndrome. It's frustrating. It's frustrating, really.
Yeah.
And it contributes to one of those factors that females end up also not going to report or not going to be telling people or hiding it until it's being resolved within the household, which it only end up being. You're not supposed to report that male because it will be embarrassing the family, because we must, maybe he needs to be cleansed.
And what does that do to the guy? That tells him it is okay for me to do this because there's never any consequences. I can carry on, do this to as many people as I will. Mm. And the family, the women will protect me because we can't go and say this is happening in our household, this is happening in our family, because what's society going to say? How is society going to view us? And I think going back to the whole mental health side of things and people actually working through things that they go through, whether it's going to therapy, just thinking back at the times where I was volunteering at SADAG, when I think of the people that would call in, there wasn't a very high number of males who will call in and say, this is happening in my life and I'm not coping, or this is happening, this is how I'm feeling. Not a lot of guys used to call in, and I don't have the hard stats right now to say percentage-wise, this is how the percentages looked. But when you look at the number of suicides in South Africa amongst males, it's way higher than it is for females. Why is that? It's like, why is that? Like, there's things that guys are going through, but they're not talking about. And maybe they were never taught how to talk about. And they're also coming into a society that says, you are a guy, and because you were born with this penis, this is how the world, this is what the world is expecting from you. And they live within those expectations. And when certain things don't happen, they don't know how to deal with it. And the next best thing is, maybe I hit this person, or I'm going to kill this person. Whoever I feel I'm stronger than.
Yes.
I'm going to use this power of mine to show that I am actually a man.
Amen.
And also to go back to what I was saying, now to come to think of it, that when males come back from initiation schools, it's always this a sacred secrecy that they will always keep. But they come back with this thing that I'm a man, I must be violent, and I must belong to a certain group where we are going to do things that are more manly. I'm not going to listen to what a woman has to say to me. And you wonder that, is that what you are taught in initiation school? That when you come back, you need to be violent. You need to not talk about what you saw there, what you did there. You're not supposed to cry or express yourself or go hang out with certain group of males that didn't go there because they're not men enough to hang around with you.
Exactly.
That you are supposed to start manhandling people and unnecessarily showing that you are more of an alpha male within your group. And that always have to involve violence. I think that's one of the factors that contributes into this gender-based violence, that it's you trying to prove yourself in a society that you're an alpha male, that you are not a person who's going to be listening to a woman. And if she pushes back, use violence.
And I've heard a lot of guys who've gone to like initiation school or whatever say things like, "Now I will never marry a woman who grew up in the city or in a township. I want them from the village because they know their place. They know that I'm the man, and you know there's certain things that need to happen a certain way." City, we're getting to a point where
we're reaching
equality.
I personally believe it's not going to happen in our lifetime. We can only do it with the hope that with the next generation, the girls can learn value yourself, know how you should be treated by a male and a female. Then the boy children should know how to express themselves in all forms. You having a penis means nothing, Jack, zero. And ultimately, we all the same.
And it also starts at home.
Yeah. It has to. Funny enough, I've been preaching a lot of like feminism things to my brothers. And then one day, recently, we were watching a movie. And so there's a group of guys in this movie. And then there's a girl, her name is Chantal. So there's like shooting and stuff. And I'm just like, why is Chantal like just sitting there? Like, I'm screaming her name, like, Chantal. So I'm like, and then he turns. And then he's like, oh, but why are you concerned about Chantal? I thought she said gender doesn't matter. And he called me out, rightly so. And because he's like, you're going against what you've been preaching to me this whole time. And I noticed that kids do listen. Kids actually listen. And I had to actually apologize. I was like, you're right, my bad. Because also me, I grew up in a patriarchal system. I have that engraved in me.
Yep.
I'm like, what is this girl doing in a group of boys? They're shooting. She must run. There he is. He's like, nah, dog. You told me gender does not matter. Why are you worried about Chantel?
Yeah, so it's going to take a lot of unlearning even from us.
Exactly. But it gave me hope. It really gave me hope that with the next generation, in each household, we can do better.
Yeah.
We can. And to also say something, sorry, Busy, you go after. That
no worries.
This is generational. Mm. Yeah, I thought you were saying something. Well, I saw your mouth, your lips move.
I was like, about to say something, so it's okay. You go ahead.
I think it's from generation to generation, this has been also installed in the system or embedded in the system that everything that, not everything per se, but things that we do, it's like males have always mattered and we haven't mattered. When you think of, I'm going out to do something, you must look at what you're wearing, not because of how it will affect you, harm you, if you like it or don't like it, because you don't want to tempt, or we are trying to use women to reduce or manage the appetite of men not to commit any, you know, sexual offenses or harass you or anything else. You must have curfew, because after a certain time, if you are out there, it's wrong for you to be out there, because a male will be tempted to attack you, to abuse you, or to have to do any sexual harassment or offenses to you. So in a way, we are saying that it is okay for what they are doing, and we'll regulate what women do, what women wear, what women say, not to provoke them, and also to manage how they will behave. So we dance around their lives.
Yeah.
We dance around what they want to do, what they want to say. And it's okay for them to do whatever they want to do to us if we provoked them. So I don't understand, why would you even ask a woman the question, what were you wearing when he raped you? I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? You wore what you wanted to wear, because that's what you wanted to do.
And it's your body. Yeah.
And nobody is entitled to it. It does not give them a right. It does not give them a leverage, any opportunity whatsoever.
The one thing I haven't quite wrapped my head around, like, how does a person get to a point where they view another person, an entire human being, and say, you are my possession? If I say today you're wearing an orange top that is covered from up from here all the way under your soles, I'm okay in saying that because it's within my right to tell you what you should be doing or shouldn't be doing. Where does that come from? It's like, is it from back in the day where it's like a woman's place is underneath the man, so whatever the man says goes?
These things are within our religion, our cultures, and how we do things. I was so shocked to read an article last year that women in Sudan, I think it's Sudan, I can't remember well, they needed permission from any form of male in your family. Should you not have a husband, a father, or a brother, your closer male cousin should give you permission to travel or to do anything within the list of regulated things that you mustn't do as a woman. You must get that permission from any form of a male in your life to do them. And if you are not covering from head to toe religiously, you know, it's embedded in these little things that actually motivates, or they encourage race, gender inequalities.
I have friends from Oman, and I think I can't remember if they said this was in Oman, but somewhere in the Middle East, one of the countries, or more than one, I can't remember, but you are not allowed as a female, you are not allowed to be in a car with a male that's not in your family. So you need to travel with, cause, and I'm
why?
Like, how would they even know? I don't know. It's just part of those. If you're a woman, you only traveling with your husband, your brothers, you know, your father maybe, but you have to be traveling with men who are in your family. If you're not in the same family, you're not allowed to be in the same car. I don't know why. It's just one of those things
because you are less of a human and he's more of a human. He has permission over your body, yourself, your being, your existence.
And I think those are the things that will
reason for your existence, for your living.
Yeah. Those are the things that will add on to a person feeling the need or the right to say, if you go against whatever I'm telling you, I then have a right to put my hand on you, or I have a right to take your life because you couldn't, you wouldn't listen to me. So the right thing is for you to not exist.
Just to answer, you know, the entitlement thing is not just historical or religious. It's also like legislation. As long as we still characterize women and children together, because I am not a child. As long as we have Department of Women and Children, I'm just like, separate us.
I do think there's men who view women as children. Like, as much as they won't say, I view you as a children, but their actions are basically saying, I will treat you the same way I treat a child. To say,
exactly.
You can't do this, you should do this, you should do that.
Exactly. Because also translating to the way policies are made, the way you're regulating children cannot be the way you are regulating me as a woman. And I understand the reasons behind it is because women are more vulnerable in society. Hence, children are also more vulnerable in society. Hence, women are often characterized with children, women and children. But we need to get to a state where we differentiate the two. Because I'm not a child. You can't treat me like a child. When the Titanic was going down, I understand when they said, okay, women and children, they should have said first, the small children that need their mother and their mothers first, and then children who don't need their mothers go. And then like hierarchy, because there should be a hierarchy of dependency or of vulnerability, of lack of physical strength, and not... And also in our culture, in our location, this whole term of referring to females in Zulu culture is ingane, and that's referring to a female. No, I'm saying ingane.
Yeah.
A hot girl.
It's like, no, hold up. I'm a grown-ass woman.
Yeah. And it's one of the things, like when I compare experiences, having lived in South Africa, having lived in the Netherlands, and now here, there's times where I'm just like, I can literally go and jog on the road. Like, I remember I prefer, when it comes to jogging, I don't like treadmills. I prefer jogging on the road. But in South Africa, there'd be times, I hardly ever, like the times where I have gone to jog by myself, there is always, there's either a car that's going to follow you, someone who's trying to catcall. It's either going to be guys that you're passing. Like, I'm going in this direction. But if there's a group of guys that I'm going to have to pass, I would much rather cross the street, pass them, and then I'll cross back to, like, why must we live like that? And then I've now lived, I remember the first time I went jogging by myself when I stayed in Amsterdam, and I was staying by myself. And I'm like, nobody is trying anything funny. Like, it's so weird. It's like, you know, when your heart starts pounding very fast because you are expecting somebody to say something.
You know they're going
to
say something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And no one says anything. And you even start thinking, do these people see me? Yeah.
It's like, in my hair, right?
do you see me? And it's like, okay, this is just, okay, people just mind their own business and you can go about jogging and without harassment. And it's the same thing even here. And I'm like, why are guys in South Africa like this? Like, it's so crazy. Why? Why do they have to be like this? That possessiveness of the female is so crazy. I remember primary school, it was after break. And I still remember this guy's name and surname. Wang Edda on Facebook, I think it was sometime last year. And I'm like, you. It was after break. You know, in class, if they're going to say, okay, if you're lining up, girls maybe line up this side. Boys line up that side. So I'm walking towards my class. People are still going to their classes. The bell just rang. There's this guy who was in a different class. And we just knew him as a guy who was a bully in the school. Like, people were scared of him because he's always beating up people for no reason, no particular reason that was known to anybody else. And at the time, people used to say in his household, the dad is always beating up the mom. So then they thought, okay, maybe that's why he's always angry and he's always trying to beat everybody up. Like, okay, whatever. I'm going to class. So he's coming this way. I'm going that way. There's people already standing in their classes. Magadlula, he slaps my butt. He's like, "Pah." So I turn and I say, "Eskolweni, in school, primary school." I think it was like grade five in front of others. There was no teacher around because the bell had literally just rang, so it was just students. So he slaps my butt and then I turn and I tell him, like, "Don't do that ever again." And then he comes in my face and is like, "Well, what are you gonna do about it?" Hey, banna. I stand and I tell him, "It's my butt. Like, these are my bums. You cannot just slap him whenever you feel like it. Now, well, what are you gonna do about it?" And he's like, "I'm gonna hit you." "You're gonna hit me because I'm telling you not to touch my ass." So then I said, "Sharp, hit me, but you're not gonna touch my ass again." He slapped me. Slaps me. I slap him back. And it literally, it ended, it was it's a slap-a-thon.
Yes.
And the people, and I understand they were all just students, but people just watched. And I'm just like, "I'm not going to back down, dude. There's no way you're just going to touch me in however way you want. And I'm going to keep quiet just because you're the bully in the school and we should all be scared of you." So it was that. And then it got to a point where people like pulled us apart and they're like, "No, dude, you shouldn't be doing this. Go to your own class, blah, 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 blah." And then he left. And as soon as he turned the corner, that's when I just broke down because everyone is like, "Oh my gosh, you've got 5 fingers. Ah, like, that must have hurt."
5 fingers. Nothing.
I had 5 fingers. I had 5 fingers showing on my cheek. And I'm like, "What do you think? Like, I've just been slapped a couple of times. Of course it hurts." And then I cried. And then the girls were all like happy that I didn't cry in front of him. Like, yeah. I showed him.
Now it's girl power. But where was the girl power then?
There was no girl power when I was getting slapped and telling this guy not to slap me. But it's also, I mean, I think people were scared. Yeah, I think people were just scared. Even guys, I think, were scared because he was just known as a person.
You were doing something out of the norm. Nobody is expected that you stand up for a bully, for instance. So,
dude, I was just like, where do you get off?
That you're so brave.
Where do you get off? And then he goes and he adds me on Facebook. I'm like, "I still remember you." So that leads me to the last, I'd say, question or thing I wanted us to talk about, which is, what is that work that needs to take place where we move from a point where we're talking about things, but we're actually doing something to change the way the world and the society we live in looks?
On my end, I see it almost the same as like what's happening with race. One, I'm not going to be having endless conversations on it. I'm not doing any more marches. I did the whole total shutdown thing in Durban. Nothing. I'm done. Hashtagging enough is enough. Personally, I'm done wearing black. I'm done. But what I will be doing is, I personally myself don't stand for conversations or talk that is outside of the pillars of feminism. I don't accept being treated anyhow. In my immediate circles, in my friends, I speak out. If I see something is wrong, I act on it. I have a cousin right now who's in a situation, a gender-based violence situation. I'm doing something about it. I will do my best. I take action in my circles, and that's all I can do. I've made peace with the fact that my marching is not going to change squat. All I can do is act in my immediate circle, as sad as it is to admit. I can only hope and pray every day that at some point the justice system works in our favor. And then my ask is for men. I'm so tired of also like men will be like, "Oh, men, we need to call each other out." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And then?
Yeah.
I'm not going to speak for a man. They need to decide for themselves what they want to do. Now I'm very clear on my end. Marching on my end,
it's not changing anything.
It's not changing anything. And my ask is that my fellow females also make changes and steps towards a better future and take up the feminism umbrella with the intention of doing good and changing the lives of the everyday woman and alleviating pain in all specs, everywhere you see it. And more of us popping up everywhere, hopefully something will change or alleviate pain in the now, and then raise better kids, influence our cousins, our sisters, our brothers for the future. For me, that's what I can see. I speak out of pain, out of the recent femicide that has happened, because my marching 2 years ago did nothing to alleviate the pain in South Africa. So I don't see what I can do. It's the same with race. I'm done talking and educating people about white privilege. There's nothing I can tell you about white privilege because you're enjoying white privilege as much as you're enjoying male privilege. But what I'm going to do, I'm not going to stand for your racism. Trust me. I'm going to call you out. So for me, it's honestly that simple. It's about my space and making sure that my world is the best that can be. And where I see wrong, I correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that makes a lot of sense when you think of it from a perspective that for the growth to happen and that change, if every single person was doing the same thing amongst their circle, eventually we'll get to a point where it's like, okay, maybe things are going to start changing. And people also need to make the decision to want to change. And that's the part where I'm not so sure. Like I'd love to have a conversation with a bunch of different guys just to get their perspective and thoughts on the work that needs to be done on their end to unlearn and change certain ways that they think. Your thoughts, Dumi?
And stop being afraid. Stop being afraid to speak up because you'll be judged. Stop being afraid because if you stand up for yourself to certain X and Y males, you will no longer be viewed as, whether it's more prettier, cooler, or whatsoever.
Or like, wife material.
Don't matter anymore. Your social status is, like, they don't matter anymore. People are really dying. So this thing of also you have a fear that if you talk about it, if you stand up for yourself or in your circle, you are the only one who's a feminist. Let it be it. Speak up and take absolutely nothing. At a workplace, if a guy is going to be doing something that's making you uncomfortable or making you feel like you are inferior to him, go up to him and say, actually, I don't like X, Y, and Z because it seems making it look like I'm inferior to you. That I, at the same time, you're in the same position or whatever it is, speak up. Whether you are putting your bonus or whatever it is in danger, it's fine, on the line, it's okay. Let them know where you stand and stand firm on what you stand and what you believe in. Because honestly, I also agree that actually I'm really over it. This thing of you must always now treat, we've been treating, we've been marching, it has been, we have been talking about it.
Yeah.
And we are tired. We are really tired.
Yep. I definitely agree that all of us doing those little things, because it's the little things that add up to be big things. That's it's a start. It's definitely a start and something that we all can do.
I think each other out. Mm-hmm. We all need to also call each other out if you are not gonna be treating someone, if you're gonna be treating someone inferior to yourself, or you're gonna be imposing certain things to female because they're not equal to you. Whether you're doing it to the next lady, or I need to also stand up and call people out. Like, it will not stop because acting fancy, it's not helping anymore. It's not it.
Yeah, I think you put it so well to me. Let's be courageous in having the right conversations. Love ourselves, value yourself. Only when you know what you bring to the table can you push back when what is given is not it.
I'm at a point where I'm thinking information is out there. What I don't want to do more of is like the, okay, when trying to teach people that if you're doing this, this is not right. Like, this is not, you know, showing that equality or treating a person, another person, like they are a human being, just at that basic level, we're all human beings. And I just want to see more action. I want to see more action, whether it's people, even if maybe more guys start talking about them going to therapy. Like, I went to therapy. This is what maybe I was dealing through or working through. You don't have to tell us the exact, you know, gory details of everything that you speak to your therapist about, but just open up those dialogues and make it a normal thing that men have feelings, men need to go to therapy just as much as females do. And it's not just you are emotional and guys are not supposed to be emotional. But there's a very huge unlearning that just needs to happen in society as a whole, in the way we view everything.
Mm-hmm. True.
Thank you for listening, and do connect with me because I wanna get to know you better. I really do. My handle on all social media platforms is Busi_global. That's BUSI_GLOBAL.
I be listening to Self Care with Busi.